Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
This April marked the 80th anniversary of Stand Up and Cheer, the movie that catapulted six-year-old Shirley Temple to unparalleled heights of stardom, and what would have been the 86th birthday of the child actor turned ambassador Shirley Temple Black. During the Great Depression, Shirley Temple served as ambassador of cheer, thrift, and resilience to the American public, as cultural historian John Casson demonstrates in The Little Girl Who Fought the Great Depression, Shirley Temple and the 1930s. The book is published by Norton, and it's a great pleasure to welcome John to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm glad to talk to you.
What brought you to this particular subject of not only looking at Shirley Temple, but specifically of the impact on 1930s America?
Well, I'm interested in how people survived the Great Depression and Old Chestnut is Hollywood provided great escape, and that's usually the beginning and end of the discussion. But the Great Depression was, of course, both the greatest economic crisis in peacetime American history, but also the greatest emotional crisis. And just as FDR and his New Deal was achieved recovery on various levels, it also addressed the issue of emotional recovery. The most famous line of one of the most famous inaugurals in American history is "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And I was interested in how Shirley Temple and Hollywood joined in that, broadly speaking, that effort, how they also cheered up the American public, sustained them emotionally, and we might say what it means to go to the movies and how the movies can make a difference in people's lives. Shirley Temple was, I think, the most influential actor or actress, child or adult, in American history in the way she touched people's, everyday people's, intimate lives became a model child for them.
And someone who made us smile, which you admit is something that started this process of why Americans were noted for smiling in the first place.
Right. It's often said that Americans smile more than other people, and there are a variety of reasons for that. But I think certainly the rise of a modern consumer culture, generally, of movies, of photography, of advertising, contributes to that, as well as a more general sense that we need to be good-humored and optimistic. And I think those characteristics were really tested in the Great Depression. It was, of course, a time when many people could quite rightly feel gloomy and desperate, and many did. What strikes me is that as you look through many of the pictures of the 30s, you can see the photograph known as Migrant Mother and others from the Farm Security Administration, but I'm struck with all those smiling images, especially of FDR and other figures, and also of entertainers, and Shirley Temple is quite conspicuous there. And her great co-star, the tap dancer Bill Bojangles Robinson.
Talk a little bit about how she became the huge star that she became. She began appearing in comic shorts and in very minor roles. She was 3 years old. And then what happened?
Her mother, who'd had two older boys, was very interested in having a third child, hoped it would be a girl, wanted to name that girl Shirley, and hoped she would somehow get involved in entertainment, and her mother was, in that sense, a kind of a classic stage screen mother, got her in these shorts and kept taking her around to various Hollywood studios. It looked like Shirley's career was going nowhere when Gertrude saw Jay Gorney, the man who wrote the music to the Great Depression song, "Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?" and thrust little Shirley in front of him, and he was looking for a child for this movie they were making, he was making written music for, Stand Up and Cheer, and took her to do a screen test, and she did a little dance that she'd worked out in this dance studio that she went to, Ethel Meglin's dance studio, and she was a great hit. And when she appeared in that movie with Jimmy Dunn, audiences loved her. She had seventh billing in that movie, but she became an overnight sensation, and that's the film that really launched her film career. She'd been in other shorts and little roles in feature films before that, but she took off, and she became the leading box office champion in the world for four consecutive years, from 35 through 38, and that's a record never equaled.
You make the point in the book that that movie, Stand Up and Cheer, ultimately hitched its wagon to FDR and FDR's popularity.
That's right. It's a movie very much about, there's about how we need to break the rock of fear in order to end the Depression. And there's a presidential figure, very much Rooseveltian figure there, who virtually paraphrases some of the line, the famous line of the only thing we have to fear itself, and says we need to get people feeling good again, and surely becomes part of that effort. And in some ways, it's a self-serving Hollywood effort at the Hollywood film industry to say people need movies in this time of hardship. And the movie industry itself is reeling from the Depression. But and in fact, people did start precisely going to, the Depression didn't end right in 1934 as the movie would have it, but people attended movies to an extraordinary degree in the 1930s. 83 cents of every dollar spent on entertainment outside the home was spent going to the movies.
You talk in the book about the many parallels between Shirley Temple and FDR. The simple truth of it is there are many connections between the two, aren't there?
There are. She would be photographed holding autographed pictures of FDR. She, in many ways, in her films, is a character who is resilient, never discouraged for long. Even if her parent dies, you know, she'll sob a bit and then she'll get back on her feet, by God, and go ahead. And that resilience, that sense of optimism, that nothing in life can defeat us, was very much a kind of energy that was congenial to the spirit of FDR and especially the early New Deal. FDR's the theme song, Happy Days Are Here Again, could be, we might say, the theme song for Shirley Temple, too. And she met FDR finally in 1938, and when they met, he said, why aren't you smiling? You're famous for your smile, as, of course, so was he. And she said she'd just lost a tooth. But, yeah.
I was interested to read in the book, and I didn't remember this from the films, but now looking back on it, it's certainly true, is that as a child in the films, usually out of most of the films that she made, she lacked one or both of her parents.
That's right. That role of kind of a vulnerable child really drives the plots of a lot of her movies, that in one way or another she has to be in some ways in kind of danger or jeopardy. And the movies, both the plot within the movies and we might say the appeal to their audiences, is, among other things, who's going to protect her, who's going to adopt her, and who's going to become her new family. And the ways families are often reconstituted in the end is sometimes she's a matchmaker, sometimes she brings together people of different generations, and also people in the audience take her to their hearts as well. We might say moviegoers adopt her too. I think that was really very important. In some ways, a lot of her films have explicit depression themes, but more broadly, they're about broken families, broken relationships, and how can we heal them.
You also talk about how so many of the fans of her work didn't really see her as acting. That it
That's
was
right.
was
they
her.
They saw her as just doing what comes naturally, we might say. They praised again and again her spontaneous sense, her sense of childhood, that she seemed uncoached, that she seemed this beaming sun child. And the movie fan magazines and all the articles about her, and there were thousands and thousands of them, all reiterate that the child you see on the screen is just like the Shirley Temple you see, Shirley Temple in her real life. They kept stressing that she really was as good as gold.
We look at this through the lens, our current day lens of child actors, and think, well, it's a miracle that she just didn't end up a complete train wreck.
That's right. And of course, a number of people in her generation, famously Mickey Rooney, who also just died, talked very in detail as an adult and made it a rueful joke about how in many ways becoming an adult and recovering from all the expectations one has as a child actor was very difficult. There was a lot of pressure on Shirley Temple. Her mother tried to shield her as much as possible from some of that and not let her get too big a head, but at the same time, it is a kind of miracle. She was the most adored child in the world, pure and simple, to an unprecedented degree. And she, in many ways, really tested the ability of her parents to keep the family together on an even keel. She became the family business.
I was talking to a music historian recently regarding the 50th anniversary of the Beatles coming to America, and he made the point that we will probably never see that type of success, level of success again in a musical group. It was the right place at the right time. Do you think the same can be said about Shirley Temple? That it would be hard to see a child have an impact on us like she did?
I do. And we might say just as the Beatles came in the wake of the assassination of John Kennedy,
right,
at a time in which the nation needed an emotional lift, Shirley came at a time in which they needed even greater lift. And it also was a time, even more than the Beatles, when the centrality of a film was greater than it would ever be after, certainly after the 1940s. It was a golden age of the studio system. And Shirley Temple had universal name recognition. We now live in an age of saturated by celebrities, but I think virtually no celebrity is one known by everyone. And Shirley was. Her name became the second most popular girl's name in the country within a year after her big takeoff in 1934. That's hard to imagine today.
Were you able to speak to her for the book?
I was not. She was ailing by the time I was really going on this, and much as I would have liked to, I really needed to respect her privacy. And also I'd felt that she really had told in great detail her story. She wrote an autobiography published in 1988, Child Star, and as Hollywood autobiographies go, it's a very good one. And there she's very clear about her own view about her childhood.
With losing her this year and writing about her impact on our culture and society, specifically in the 1930s, what do you think her legacy is?
She had a remarkable career as an adult and was a person who did a lot of meritorious work, was a very concerned citizen and, of course, ambassador to Ghana and Czechoslovakia, among other things. But that's not why, when she died, she achieved headlines around the world. It's because she was the greatest child star in history, and at a time in which Hollywood and mattered more to the public in the United States and worldwide than it can now. Her face, her name, was not only prominent even among people who never went to the movies, couldn't afford to in the 1930s in the United States, but it was popular worldwide. And so I think she'll be remembered as a person who somehow captured the qualities of childhood that we wanted to believe in and to hold on to. And in the Depression, people said, we're not going to lose those qualities of hope, of optimism, a belief in the future, of a smile, and of a sense that the things that really matter are the things right in front of us, our affections, our heart, our legacy, and our own children.
The name of the book is The Little Girl Who Fought the Great Depression, Shirley Temple in 1930s America. It is published by Norton. John, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
It's a great pleasure for me. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is The Girl Who Fought the Great Depression, Shirley Temple and 1930s America. The book is published by Norton. John Kasson is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.